Welcome back to That Gaming Podcast, everybody. This is Ben.
And this is Alex.
And this is the show where we talk about the Nintendo and PlayStation games we're playing right now.
That's right. So join us as we embark into the world of gaming.
Let's do it.
Hello, listeners. Hello, Ben. How are you, sir?
I'm okay. Apologize if I cough. Hello, everybody.
Ben is recovering from...
I bet you can guess it.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. Has 190 in it. That's the thing. That's the tip.
Yes. COVID-19. Dang it. Yeah, it got me. We went on a trip and got back. And within 48 hours of being back, Hannah got sick and then I got sick. We're doing fine. We just have a little bit of a tickle cough thing just hanging on both of us. But our energy's back. Our health is back.
Good.
We are back to normal. We basically had the flu. So thankfully, we both were able to get the vaccines. Mm-hmm. So that helped us stay out of the hospital. So
nice.
Grateful for that. Grateful for my health. But hope everyone else is doing well. And we're going to talk about games. I didn't play a whole lot of games, but I'm excited about a game. So I'm going to talk about some news. But we will... We'll get back into the swing of things in the next couple of weeks, and I'll get some more quality reviews, opinions, whatever we call it here.
You can only play PlayStation games, no Nintendo, just PlayStation for like a month to make up for what you lost. So just
no Nintendo forever. Love Nintendo.
I'm messing with you, of course. No, I'm glad. I'm glad you're feeling better. I'm glad your wife is feeling better. And I'm sure the listeners are looking forward to another Ben Hannah episode. In the near future.
Yeah, we'll have something coming down the pipeline. I'm still playing Stardew Valley, so Hannah showed me the ropes on that, and we're still going on that. So, nice. But we'll probably have something more coming.
Yep. Sweet. And with that, we'll dive right into our intros. Always for our new listeners, if you're new, hello, welcome, glad to have you. If you're a current listener, thank you for tuning in. As always, we appreciate the support. It is helping us, so thank you. As always, if you have a question, you have a comment, you want to be heard, you want to yell at us, you want to yell at Ben or something, you want to yell at
How
me.
Dare you get COVID? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Anybody, basically, we have an email. It is askthatgamingpodcast@gmail.com. Askthatgamingpodcast@gmail.com is the email address. And if you have a game suggestion you want to talk about, if you want to put your 2 cents in, like I said, just email us. Ben will look it up and he'll make sure he puts it or mentions it in the next show. And we'll go from there. We also have a Facebook account, which you return listener. I can't talk today. I think I got COVID as well or something now.
It's all right.
For people
returning
with
listeners.
Us, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. That word. Or for people who've been with us for a while, we do still have our Facebook account. And it's turned into basically our kind of like our, what you want to call it, like basically our of traffic page, meaning we post some stuff there about gameplays. Mm-hmm. Ben posted a few news thing about Mario or Rabbids, which we'll get into mm-hmm. in a few minutes here, and other mm-hmm. things. But anytime you're like, okay, what are they up to essentially here? If we can't make an episode or something like a podcast, we'll probably put a comment out there saying, hey, we won't be this week. You know, check this out instead. So if you ever want to find out what we're doing or what's up or what games we're playing, you go to Facebook. We have it there. Have our stuff there. If you don't have Facebook, we do have, of course, we're also on all the podcast platforms. So Apple Podcasts, Google, you name it. Leave us a review there. As Ben would say, 5 stars preferred. Or if you want to give us 1 star and yell at us, that's okay. Tell us why and how we can improve. But help us.
I'd prefer you send an email before you do a 1 star and tell us that you don't like
you
us.
See, now you say that.
He's, whatever you
somebody
want.
Somebody is going to say, no, just to piss Ben off, I'm going to put 1 star here and say no email or something.
No, please.
Please, no. But no.
Just I'm sick. Please.
Well, spare no, me. No, they're going to wait till you get better and then they're going to come back and do it. Okay. So you can't fool that card. And then, yeah. But
about right.
In all honesty, if you give us like a review, leave us a comment, it just helps us fight the algorithm, the AI, if you would, out there in the podcast world, and we become more visible, and that attracts more listeners to tune in and know about us, and we can make more content because more people will tune in and send us recommendations. So there's that. With that being said, we're going to dive. Well, Ben's going to open up first with some news. I'm sure most of you know that Nintendo Direct had a little bit of a mini showcase. Before Ben jumps in, I will say this is the very first time I sat and watched through a Nintendo Direct. Usually I skip them because I'm like, Nintendo Direct. So I sat through. I found some interesting stuff, not just a Disney game, by the way. I found some cool stuff. The rabbit game seemed pretty fun. But anyway, that's for another podcast. Open up. What you got, Ben?
I want to know why you turned it on. It was because of the Disney game?
It was made because of that Dream Valley game I was interested in. And then I was waiting for it to play. Some other games were coming up. I thought, that looks nice. Oh, that looks nice.
You just had it on like,
in the background.
Doing stuff. And yeah, I got it.
But usually I don't even watch anything. So yeah.
The Nintendo Directs are quick. They're real fast. They're real efficient.
Yes.
They give you like a little preview of what's coming next. So you're not sitting there like watching a trailer trying to figure it out. Like, what is this? Is this a game I like? Right. Like they come on the screen. They're like, Mario Rabbids plus Rabbids Sparks of Hope coming this October. Mm-hmm. And then it goes into the trailer and everything. So you can check out if you're like, I'm not interested in this, you know, or hit mute or whatever. So, yeah, I encourage you watch them all the time. It's just good to know what's going on.
I actually might. I actually might, because that was it's different than PlayStation's showcase and stuff that I've seen before. So I like the structure. So maybe I will. Maybe
PlayStation does a good job too.
So they do. I agree. They do. They do as well here. Nintendo was more like to the point in a good way. I say that like here you go. Here's an information you need. Here's your release dates or no release dates, and then bam. So
yeah. So what this was is after that Direct aired, it had just a little trailer in it. Then it came online and they said, that's what I shared on our Facebook page. They were saying that they're going to do a showcase. I think this was June 29th, which was yesterday, Wednesday.
Yep.
They did a showcase at noon. And the showcase was about a 15-20 minute video. And it goes into a little more detail on gameplay and characters and story and all the goodies, all the details. So this was first announced last year at E3. You came to my house, Alex, remember? And we watched the Ubisoft press conference for E3.
Yes.
And this game was announced. And then we had heard nothing, absolutely nothing, until 1 year later, exactly now, we're hearing about details about the game. And the great part about it is it's coming out this October. So we don't have to guess anymore if it's going to get pushed back. It's coming out in October. And they're ramping up all the coverage now for it. So it's pretty exciting.
And is it Ubisoft? Has a hand in this with Nintendo?
Ubisoft makes the game.
Nice.
Ubisoft collaborated with Nintendo on Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle on the Switch. And they're doing the same thing again. This is a sequel.
Sweet.
Kingdom Battle, of course, was the first game that Hannah and I talked about on the podcast. We did our very first episode together where we covered this. So if you want to go back in our podcast feed, all of our podcasts are free and they're available for anybody at any time. Just look for Hannah and Ben Love Nintendo number one and you can listen and see what we thought. But we love this game, Hannah and I. It's a great couch co-op game. It's a strategic game. You can swap controllers. That's what we did to play it. I don't think it's actually co-op where you have two controllers, each controlling stuff. Okay. We just would like take turns. You want to play around? You want to play around?
Right.
We did that. But as far as this game, I don't know if that's going to change. They haven't said that in this announcement, but I'll go over what they did talk about. Mm-hmm. They talk about the main antagonist is called Cursa. And Cursa wants to take over this galaxy and they want to consume these little creatures called Sparks. They look like Lumas from the Mario Galaxy game from Nintendo Wii. They're Lumas and Rabbids that have been crossed together. The whole crux of the Mario plus Rabbids universe is that the Mushroom Kingdom and the Rabbids universe clash into one another and everything gets jumbled up and mixed together. So you've got, you know, a rabid that looks like Mario. You've got a rabbit that looks like Luigi. You've got one that looks like Peach. they announced that there's one that looks like Rosalina, which was a character, a Mario character from Mario Galaxy. So there's Rosalina, Rabbit Rosalina. and each of these characters have different weapons and tactics and abilities. Some are healers, some are long range, short range. I imagine that Rosalina is magic based of some sort. But that's kind of the whole idea behind it, is it just takes the name and literally smashes these two worlds together and gets real creative with it.
Interesting.
And in this game, Bowser also joins the team. The reason for doing that is Kursa took over his army and took all his minions away from him. And he's not happy about that. So he's like, I'm going to kick her butt. So he joins Mario and the rabbit gang, and they all have him. He has this big bazooka. Looks like a bullet bill.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like he's got a big bazooka weapon now in the game, which should be pretty fun to try out. Each hero has a custom weapon. And before, some heroes just had a generic. They had like two weapons each, every hero did in the first game. Now each hero just has one, and it's specific to that character. So like Mario can dual wield these pistols. Luigi has sharp shots. Rabbit Mario has these big fists, so he can get in close range and punch and beat up people. So you're going to have to know what each character's ability is and how to use that character.
Right.
Strategically on the map and where to place them. And so it sounds like it'll be a little simpler, but better for the better, I think.
Right. That's what it sounds like.
And then each hero can also use these sparks that I was talking about. So they're Lumas. They're like these star creatures, but they're crossed with rabbits. So each character can use these special sparks characters in battle, and they give you different abilities and stuff you can do with them. I saw on the bottom there was your little choices for your attacks, and one of them was a Luma, a little spark. So didn't go into details on that, but it'll be a new gameplay mechanic, which will be fun. The battle now is not on a grid system like it was before. Before you would select where you want to move your character, and you had to pick a square like XCOM, and you might go behind like a little square brick for protection that would give you a barrier that would reduce the percentage chance of them shooting at you. If you get behind like a sturdy wall, they might have a 50-50 shot against you, as opposed to just standing out in the middle of the open. They have 100% chance of hitting you. So there's that kind of strategic dynamics that are in play. Mm-hmm. This time around, you don't have to go specifically on a square on the ground. Now it's free flow combat. You can move around anywhere you want on the map at any time. Just so it kind of looks like it's going to free it up a little bit, and you can be doing more kinetic movement stuff. You can run around and run into an enemy. That'll give them a little bit of hit damage, like just slide into them, then run over to your one of your other, like let's say Mario is standing there, and you're playing as Luigi. Luigi runs around after he hits somebody, jumps on Mario's back, does a little like catapult thing that gives him extra damage or a boost or something, lands somewhere else up high, maybe takes out his sniper rifle and shoots somebody, and he gets a bonus because he jumped off his buddy's back. Like that kind of thing. It's just going to be more kinetic and more movement based, as opposed to where before it was like, pick your spot on the grid, hide behind some cover. All right, enemy's turn. Your turn, enemy's turn. It was just a little more static.
Right. More movement this go around. Right.
Right. There's a new hero rabbit called Edge. She has this cool black and green hair. She has this big broadsword. That's why she's called Edge. and she used the broadsword in battle. That's unique to this game. The first game didn't have a character. It had the Mario characters, the Rabbit characters. That was it. This game's a little unique with this new Edge character and Bowser's coming in. And maybe there'll be a Rabbit Bowser. I don't know. That would be really cool. We'll see.
Rabbit Bowser.
The Rabbids are hilarious. I did not like the Rabbids in like some of those party games. I didn't play those very much. But for some reason in this particular game, they're just really fun and funny. Hey, Maggie, how's it going?
She's excited about the rabbits, too.
She is, yeah. So, oh, there's her. Okay. I was like, where's our time? But, yeah, all in all, that's just the gist of it. It looks really great. It looks really fun. I'm excited for the game to come out in October, and Hannah and I will definitely do an episode about it. And, yeah, if you want to know more, just go to Nintendo's YouTube channel or Ubisoft's YouTube channel. I'm sure you'll find the complete showcase there and some info there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But that's all I got. You were going to talk about... What were you going to talk about?
You forgot.
No, you were going to talk about Metal Gear Solid 3 and 4?
Three.
Just 3.
Okay. Yeah.
Just
for time's sake, we'll go with 3. We'll go with 3.
Okay.
So I'll keep 4 for rainy day. Unless somebody really wants to hear it, let us know. Email us. Leave a comment. But very recently, I went to memory lane. I went out. I bought a used PlayStation 3, and as you know, Ben. And
then right.
After that, I bought the Legacy Collection of all the Metal Gears. They had it from like the two Game Boy games, 1980 something, or to all the way up to 2012, the fourth game, basically.
What size PS3 did you buy?
I bought the newest model, the
Slim.
There you go, the slim size one. It's like the last mile.
Was it like a terabyte or something?
Yeah, pretty much.
Half gig or something?
I think it was like less than that.
Half terabyte?
Like
500 or something?
No, only like 100 gigs or something, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because the games were small back then, if I'm not mistaken. 160, something like that. But anyways, it's definitely smaller than the PS4 and the PS5. But I did that because they... Konami pulled the titles digitally from the store, so you can't even play it on the PS Now / PS Premium of the plan now because of rights issue they have to renew, so they pulled off the plug. So the only way you can get those games now, at least 1 to 3, is 1 to 4, should I say, is through a disc. So that's what I did. I bought through a disc, wanted to get into it. So play the game.
Nice.
And I'm going to dive into 3 very quickly here because I feel like it is... In my opinion, the top, my favorite game of the series. Some people might yell at me, but some people agree with me. I will open up with saying, Ben, have you ever eaten a tree frog?
No. What in the world?
Nor have I. So the game is very iconic for many reasons. They have a song called Snake Eater. It's called Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater. And It's set in the 1960s. It's set in like a Russian jungle or something. And you're sent in by the U.S. to essentially take down a, let's call it like a group of folks there. They have like a capability of developing a weapon called Metal Gear. And that could launch a nuclear strike and cause a war and all the fun stuff. Anyways, it's scary. Very, very scary. It's very James Bond-like. The story. Ooh. And the music. So the music opens up just like you would in the Bond. Like you play a little bit.
That's
and
fun.
Then it opens like up. That. And one of the lines is she's like, someday you'll feed on a tree frog. Some weird stuff she starts talking.
Oh, so this is like the theme song?
Yeah. That essentially. Yeah. And she says more than just that here. It's called Snake Eater, but she's talking basically about your journey into the jungle. So in this game, you actually have to keep up with your health, your stamina. You get hungry in the game and you're in this jungle. So you have to eat. Well, why can't you eat in the jungle? There's snakes, tree frogs, pigeons, some fruits and vegetables, mushrooms, you name it. It's a whole system you can eat, essentially.
So do you have to eat these animals? Is that part of the game?
If you want to survive, yes.
Really?
I mean,
that's interesting.
You can find rations. You can find pot of noodles, like ramen noodles as well. They put in the game throughout. You can pick up, essentially.
And these were PlayStation 1 classics, right?
Metal Gear Solid 3 was 2 and into 3. They released 3.
See, I didn't have a 2. I didn't have a 2 when it first came out, so I didn't play this.
That's right. You sure? I recommend, but it's a lot of cutscenes.
Yeah.
You might not like it, but it's a lot of cutscenes to look. All Metal Gear games are very, it's like while you're watching a movie and 20 minutes is like of one session is like cutscenes. But I picked up because last time I played this was on PlayStation 2, PS3. Sorry. It's been a while. And on the PS3, they have trophies now too. But the game opens up, you're thrown into the jungle, and you have to essentially infiltrate the, they're called the Cobra group, essentially. And there's this Russian general or something that's Cobra. Turned evil, who wants to like take over Russia. And
throughout, like Spectre?
Yeah, close, actually.
Cobra, like
yeah,
Spectre?
Yeah, exactly. Like, okay, you see, right. You see where we're going with this?
So I just watched No Time to Die last night. I watched part of it.
So it's fresh in your brain?
So yeah, this is all fresh in my brain.
Very fresh. They have, and then this person, his name is like Colonel Volgin, I think. Yeah, Volgin. And he wants to essentially overthrow Khrushchev, who is a political figure back then, take over and start war with the U.S. and everything. So Khrushchev and the U.S. president, which would be Lyndon Johnson, if I'm mistaken, they can come up and say, okay, well, we'll send somebody in and that will help you help me. Because what happened was a nuclear like warhead went off in Russia by that group, and they're blaming the U.S. for it. So you have to kind of like go in there and like prove it's not you. And the agreement was you had to go in there and basically do stuff to appease both sides to avoid a nuclear war, essentially, in that case. So throughout the game, like, as you go through different levels, you eat snakes, you eat a bunch of stuff, you can eat crocodiles if you want, if you're lucky. It's a whole bunch of stuff. It's very funny because as he eats it, he will tell you like, tasty or ugh, no or whatever. It's
That's very weird, very
interesting. The game also has injuries. So like if you get shot, you fall off, you bruise yourself. There's actually like a, they call like, I think it's like a health menu. Point is you get in there, it shows your character. And if you need to treat a wound, you have to like put bandages. You have to put, you know,
that's cool,
cooling cream or something. If you get shot, you gotta use your knife to take the bullet out and stuff, and then you stitch it up. And essentially,
man,
it's very in depth when you get injured.
These games always pushed the limit back then. They always like made the coolest newest thing always.
It's
really so cool.
Like I would never have thought of that. You know, the games before then, you know, you should just keep running away for your health to regenerate. Here it's like they make you think twice. You can't just go into a gunfire because you get shot multiple times, and if you don't treat your wounds, your health bar like stops, like it's red at some point, so you only can go up so much with your health bar. So it's in your interest to heal yourself so you can regenerate your full health. Otherwise you only have like 5% of your health, something crazy like that. So they really want you to heal. So it's very, very well done. Those supplies can run out, so you have to find them around the mission as you around the world, should we say, as you proceed forward. They of course give you a whole set of gadgets, weapons. The one cool, interesting I'll quickly mention is that they also have since you watch Spectre. They have these little, you have like a little pill thing, not a pill, a little capsule in your teeth that you can crunch on die, essentially. But this one is done to where you can like, you can do it to fool enemies, and you have a revival pill you can take. So you can wake up. So you can fool the enemy if you're being chased.
What you call cyanide it? Pill. Cyanide. Is what
there you
thinking
go.
Thinking of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sure this one might not be cyanide. Well, maybe it is. I'm not sure how that works because if you take cyanide, then you take something to like revive yourself. There has to be some sort of chemical balance.
I don't know. Yeah, or video game magic.
Video game magic, essentially, there. My point is you can take that as well to fool enemies if you'd like to. And then
that's fun.
You know, yeah, it's really
so cool. So you got options. You don't have to just you do don't the have same to, thing like, over and over.
No. And there are boss fights. Very quickly, they're like, these bosses are after like your emotions. Well, they're named after your emotions, overall human emotions. There's one called the pain. He controls wasps and stuff when you fight him. So you have to like, kind of like fight him and watch out for the wasps. You have someone called the end. And he's like this super old ancient dude.
I don't like that.
Yeah, he's like a sniper guy, essentially. And he's basically on his deathbed, but he has this photosynthesis like technology on him where he can like absorb sun, and that keeps him going for a little while. It's very Metal Gear.
Interesting. That's so weird. Cool. So,
basically, and he's annoying to fight as well. There's someone called the Sorrow. He's basically a ghost. Like, you don't really fight him. There's one mission where you're you're in his world, quote, and you're trying to get out of it to kind of like, you know, wake up essentially. And you're walking down this river, and all you're doing is you're walking down the river. You have to avoid him. He's like floating in front of you, throwing stuff at you, and you have to avoid it. And the game is very smart. If you killed enemy soldiers throughout the game, like you actually lethally killed them, they show up there. Like they show up there, so you gotta dodge them. If you just use a tranquilizer gun, let's knock them out, you have nobody to worry about at all.
That is nuts.
So the game gives you an option. Like if you want to play like, you know, like very lethal, be careful because you could come bite you in the butt later down the road. So that's I remember that from when I was playing as a kid. So I did not kill anybody because I'm like, I know it gets harder if I kill a lot of people. So all you have
that
like
is the bosses. So cool.
Very cool. Wow. Very cool.
That needs to be in more games.
You think?
Like in games today, that would be, it would make it so much better.
And oh man, yeah. It's like
just the depth, that level of like detail,
the creativity
is what make games a lot of fun. Like because then you're immersed into the story and the world, and like I
it
like
pulls that you in. It pulls you very easily. That's how one did. That's how two did it. Now three does it. Four does it differently, which we'll talk about another time. And then lastly, you have someone called, I think it's called Fury, the Fury or something like that. And he's like this person in like a fire suit or something. With,
does he have an eye patch?
He does not. Now, that's Big Boss, which is yourself later.
I was thinking Nick Fury is what I was trying to get at. Does he have an eye patch?
No.
Does he say snake, talk about snakes a lot?
No, he's weird. He's like, he has his fire suit and he has like a jet pack where he can fly around essentially here. And every time he does it, he was like an astronaut. So when he does it, like you hear this little like intercom, like, you know, like astronaut speaking, radio frequency, Houston or something like that.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. Like if you've played the series, if you're a hardcore fan, like I am, you get it and you appreciate the creativity and the weirdness of it. But those are essentially the bosses. So you take them down and then the head of the group is called the boss. And you essentially fight her at the very end. And that's how you become Big Boss. So, you know, Metal Gear 3 is set before Metal Gear 1, before Metal Gear 2. It's like the first game in the series. It's kind of like Star Wars, if you look at the timeline. Metal Gear 3 is the opening. Yeah. And you play a Snake who is Big Boss, who becomes Big Boss by doing that. And then after 3, becomes Peace Walker on the PSP. And then the other games follow suit, essentially, at that point. But I think I'd mention very quickly just because it's a great game. If you're trying to get an itch going and you can't find, pick up a used PS3 somewhere if you can find one. Get the Legacy Collection. They have it on Amazon for like $30 if you want. You can get all of them.
And then you own it and you don't have to worry about them taking it away.
You own the disc, everything.
You got it.
Yeah,
you got it. As long as you keep the thing alive and in good condition, then.
And you don't scratch the discs, then you're very good, essentially. Yeah,
exactly.
That's all you have to do here. But it's a great game. I can talk way more about it, but we'll be here for like 5 hours. The game is long enough with cutscenes, so imagine me talking about it and the storyline. If you haven't played
it, I don't know
it,
if I can talk.
Play it.
I'll probably just be constantly coughing then by that point.
No way, I'll give you a snake or tree frog to eat or something. Maybe that will get you going.
I need something right now, I'm telling you. I need something to get rid of this.
But that's all I got in a very nutshell. If you do want to hear more, like more in depth, let us know. I'll be more than happy. I'm sure Ben will be fine, and we can dissect.
Yeah, we'll come back. We can do another half hour. And,
half hour or something about it. Right, right.
Talk about it more, sure.
It's a very,
Alex
very,
will buy me a PS3. And,
I'll buy him a USB. You have one already, don't you? Anyways, you have one.
I do. I just need a copy of the game. I wonder if
you can find Amazon.
My local game store has one nearby.
You might find a used game for that too. Yeah. You might not.
Do you think it's rare, like a collector's edition type thing?
It could be, because if you do get it, you'll probably be able to play 2, 3, and 4 because the other ones are digital codes you have to redeem in the PS3 store. So if you buy a used one, those codes may be used already, unless they did not.
You got this. You had this disc for a long time.
I bought on Amazon brand new, luckily. It was an Amazon brand new still selling.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's only $3.
And it had the codes still?
All the codes were working and everything for the Game Boy and the PS1 version of the game.
Nice.
Well, actually, I'm sorry. PS1. The Game Boys are embedded into the game. So never mind. Just the PS1. The first game that came out on PlayStation for Metal Gear Solid is digital. You have to get it through the PS3 store. Not compatible with the PS4, unfortunately, or the PS5. Has to be from the PS3 store. Otherwise, it won't work.
Gotcha.
But yeah, pick it up.
Well, that's cool. That's cool, yeah. definitely worth a look at it. And a couple more months and Mario Rabbids be coming out. So we'll be talking about that. And I got a whole backlog of games. Same, I got plenty of things to play and talk about. So we will figure it out and we will be back next week.
Week.
Have a good one. Stay healthy. Bye, everybody.
Ciao, ciao.